We are named I Kidnapped the Princess, and we are based in LA, although a lot of us are from San Fernando Valley, and we have a few members that are in Culver City, but we're mainly based in LA.
Awesome. And then, what genre or multiple genres would you describe your band's music as?
When we were first starting, we started off as Nintendo Core with a fusion of Slam. So we wanted to be both. We were like Nintendo Core Slam. We wanted this one side to just be like this fun, cheery Nintendo Core, and then it just goes into like this other side, which is like this like dark slam kind of thing. So I would still consider us slamming Nintendo Core, but as of recently, we've changed up our sound a little bit, but it's still kind of like connected to our roots. So I would say slamming Nintendo Core.
How have you changed the sound more recently?
So for our first album, we haven't released our new album yet, but you'll see when it comes out. For our first album, it was a lot more like just every song had to have like a slam riff or a slam breakdown. And that one was more like straightforward in your face kind of thing. And this one, it's a little like different. We tried combining the sound that we already have with different genres of music and like different genres in the scene, like Easy core, sass core, and math core.
All right. This question's kind of similar. So you guys dropped your first album in mid-2025 and you've released about five singles before and after that. What Nintendo core bands have had the largest impact on the sound of your music so far, or any bands outside the Nintendo core sphere, like slam bands too?
So, a band that has had a huge impact on our music or our sound is definitely I Set My Friends on Fire. We take heavy inspiration from them, like a lot, and I think that they have inspired our sound the most. But as for a Nintendo Core band that has inspired us a lot, I Shot the Duck Hunt Dog and Air 37. When I started this band, I had more of a I Shot the Duck Hunt Dog inspiration, and I wanted to be more like violent Nintendo Core, but we ended up doing some singing down the line. Which, that happened because a lot of people enjoyed Scorpion Spear. And then I was like, you know what? Everybody in the scene is trying to be as like hardcore as they can, or everybody in the scene is trying to like have the most intense breakdowns. And it's like there's not a lot of bands out there that are doing like singing or electronic singing. At the time we started I Kidnapped the Princess, Ashes at Last was one of the only bands that was doing Crabcore Revival. And it's just there was Pacific Skyline too, but they were pretty niche at the time. So there really wasn't many bands doing it. And I just figured like there needed to be like more bands like singing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Especially like that place and time, like everyone was trying to be as brutal as possible.
Yeah,
But
everybody was trying to be all like deathcore. Everybody
yeah.
was trying to have the slowest 808 drops breakdowns of all time. Don't get me
Yeah.
wrong, like we love those, but
Yeah.
just
Variety is fun too.
yeah.
And then, so the information, at least that I've seen about Nintendo Core online, is pretty limited in like the overall like definition and like the history of Nintendo Core. Like you kind of have to dig a little. How did you find out about Nintendo Core in the first place?
It was my best friend, aka second vocalist Toxic. He was the one that put me onto it. I guess I've just like been listening to it for a while, but didn't exactly like notice. But like when we were in the process of discussing like starting a band, like we both talked about ideas that we wanted to do. I told him I wanted to go like more in like a scene direction. Like I wanted to have like some synths and electronic stuff. And then he gave me the idea of Nintendo Core, and then he gave me like all these bands to listen to, and then I just fell in love with it like immediately. I fell in love with the idea. I fell in love with like everyone that was doing it.
So, over the last few years, I'd say specifically in the last like year or so, it's my opinion that we've seen like a bit of an increase in the amount of Nintendo core bands, although like overall still pretty small in numbers. Do you have any idea or like theories of what has led to this increase?
Yeah, it started off with Anima Is Dying when they came out. It was new and it was some stuff that nobody ever really heard before. And fun fact, we were planning to be the first Nintendo Core Revival band in the scene, but Anima Is Dying beat us to it, which is pretty which is completely fair. They beat us to it first and everybody heard it and they liked it because it was very different from everything else that was coming out. And so when that got really popular, everybody wanted to make a Nintendo Core project or a Nintendo Core band because they figured out that it was really fun to make. And Nintendo Core is pretty fun to make. And it's a pretty easy genre as well because really, realistically, you only need like a synth and drums, and you can call yourself Nintendo Core. Like, you don't necessarily need a guitar or vocals. But a lot of people started making their own projects because they figured out it was really fun to make, and it was getting really popular and like blowing up. And I also think like part of what kind of kept Nintendo Core alive, or what has inspired people and still inspires people to make Nintendo Core bands to this day, is probably us, the impact that we had on the Nintendo Core scene. Because I've gotten like a lot of DMs from bands, or I've gotten a lot of like new Nintendo Core bands that come out. They have told us that we inspired them a lot to create the band. And sometimes you can even see it too. Like, there was this one band. Let me shout them out. Skull Kid Stole My Mask. Like, he had our merch and one of his album covers.
Oh,
So
wow.
I definitely think that Anima's Dying like started the Nintendo Core revival, and we just kind of continued it, and we just kind of flowed off of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds awesome to have like so many people like recognize your impacts like on the Nintendo Core scene too. Kind of like what we talked about earlier, do you think like the rise of like how do I say this, like the brutal archetype like gaining popularity in scene also made people like seek out something different or something like more fun, I guess, too.
Yeah, most definitely. There was a part of the scene that didn't like it, and they just wanted to stick to the hardcore and the deathcore, and they just wanted to stick to like the hard moshing and stuff. There was that part that didn't like it, but most of the revival scene was coming from like people who wanted to be like scene kids or emo kids. So they were kind of craving that. And when the revival scene started popping off, like Ashes at Last was popping off a lot. So I feel like there was like a part that wanted more fun genres like that.
Next up, if you can open for any older Nintendo Core band, who would you open for?
Definitely 100 Dead Rabbits, without any question. 100 Dead Rabbits. And there's also this other band that played live. They're called Fucking Werewolf, ASO. There's that. And then Air 37, but they're out of the country. But it would be very cool playing with them back in the day. Those would be some bands that I would love to open up for or play with.
That'd be a crazy show lineup.
Yeah.
For those fans. And then next up, this is more about like the music technicalities, I guess. Like, would you describe your music as like a revival of what was, like trying to imitate original Nintendo Core almost to a T, or like something new, but more taking inspiration from the past?
Honestly, that's kind of an interesting question, because the way that we look at it, we just wanted to bring back the stuff that people were kind of scared to do. Like, we just wanted to bring back combining genres. We just wanted to bring back not being scared to try something new. You know, like, you can have a very intense 808 breakdown and then have a very cool melodic singing part right after it. Our whole point was just like, we wanted to bring back experimenting and trying stuff that people nowadays don't really try in, the scene. So, in a way, like, I would say certain aspects of it is kind of a revival. And I would say, like, for the most part, we are a revival band. That's what we're going for. But we're definitely like incorporating new stuff into it. And for the most part, we kind of have our own sound separated from a bunch of other Nintendo Core bands.
Yeah, I think that's what's special and what I liked about I Kidnapped the Princess too is that it doesn't just fade into this larger like revival movement, like you can stick out as your own band as well. And then how did you come up with the name I Kidnapped the Princess?
So originally, we were going to have another name, and it was going to be Before Dinosaurs Started Munching. And that was going to be like in short for BDSM. And we found it funny. We would have like announced on stage, we'd be like, hey, our name is BDSM Before Dinosaurs Started Munching, or something like that. And we found that really funny, but we just didn't end up using it because I felt like we could have done better. And I really liked how a lot of band names back then, like, was just a sentence of like, I did something bad. Like, I shot the Duck Hunt dog. I shot the prom queen. Like, I set my friends on fire. Like, there was a bunch of bands that just like had that like, I did this kind of thing. And so that's something I wanted to do, and I feel like nobody has really done that. So we made I Kidnapped the Princess. And at first, I wasn't really too strong on using that name because I wanted something that was kind of catchy. But that name just stuck around. Like, me and Toxic would make jokes about that name, and it kind of just stuck with us. And eventually, when the Nintendo Core wave was happening, we saw someone name their band Kill the Princess. And that's when I got worried. I was like, oh crap, someone might steal our name. Okay, we got to use it before someone takes it, because
Yeah.
There's so many bands coming out right now, like anybody else could come up with it. So we quickly just used that name, and everyone ended up loving it. And looking back, like I think it was a good decision. You know,
Yeah.
sometimes I'm like, you know, would it have been cooler if I used like I Killed the Princess or something? But I think that I Kidnapped the Princess is pretty good for what it is.
Yeah, it's catchy. You can save the BDSM for a side project.
Possibly, if I were to do a side project, I would name it Eat the Pickle or something.
Next up, what's your favorite song you've written for I Kidnapped the Princess, and why is it your favorite?
Definitely Gunfight with Slenderman, if we're talking songs released so far. Gunfight with Slenderman is our favorite. It's my favorite personally because I feel like it's like the most relatable to not just me, but everybody. I feel like it's something that everybody has been through at one point in their life, and I'm also just kind of really proud of the lyricism that I did on that song. So I think that's my favorite. And then another thing too, like the way that the song is structured, like everybody in the band just loves playing that song. They love playing it live and they love playing it at practice. And it's like, if we're always having a bad practice, they're like, okay, you know what? We got to end on Gunfight with Slenderman. That will make this practice better. So everybody just absolutely adores that song. It's also the first song where we use Mario 64 synths, and it's not like, you know, regular Nintendo synths. Like, it's synths from like Super Mario 64. So I think that's what makes it beautiful as well. And it's just the one song that we all agree is just like absolutely perfect and doesn't have any flaws.
So, would you say it's like your amp up song, like to get you hype?
Sort of, yeah. Every time we play that song, like people start moshing, and that song has gotten a lot of plays on TikTok as well. There was that, and then Sonic Says No to Drugs. Those two, where everybody loves those two. I did have another song that's gonna be on the new album. It's gonna be like the main track. It's called, okay, this title's pretty crazy. I Like My Steak How I Like My Sex, Raw on the Inside. And I like that song a lot just because number one, like it's pretty funny. We put a Chief Keef sample in there, and we've actually played it live a few times, and everybody seemed to really like it. Number two, it's way different from a lot of the other stuff I wrote because this song, I actually wrote it from a girl's perspective, and a lot of the other songs I write it in a dude's perspective because it's easy for me. I'm a dude. So this song, I wrote it from a girl perspective of her like just going through life and going to work and having to deal with like some bullshit employees and just like being depressed. That was mainly what that song is going to be about. And I like that song a lot because I feel like, you know, I challenged myself to write a song in a different perspective and I did pretty well. And that song is also just really fun to play.
I can't wait to hear that other song, and the Chief Keef sample sounds cool too. Do you guys have like a time that you think you'll be releasing your new music?
Around March or April, like, you know, either this month or next month, because it's almost done. It's like 80% done, I would say. The only reason why we're thinking about delaying is because we're just like kind of questioning whether we want to do like a show album release, like an album release show. You know, we want to get merch prepared. So that's probably the only like things, but very soon.
And then I think I may kind of know the answer to this question already, but just want to clarify, what game or games or media inspires you the most in your music and designs?
Definitely Mario. I mean, that's no questions asked.
Yeah.
Definitely Mario. Going into this band, like we wanted it to be very Mario themed, but also Pokemon as well. There's Pokemon because a lot of us like Pokemon. The other band members, when it comes to games, like they all like Halo and Doom, and they all like stuff like that. But this project was very like Nintendo based, which honestly we might calm down a little bit on, because to be honest, we're not really so sure how we've gotten away with the merch drops, but we somehow managed to get away with that.
Oh, like copyright wise?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I can see how it's like, you know, every artwork was originally drawn. You know, we didn't use any actual assets from Nintendo, but still.
Yeah, because I know they can be kind of harsh with their copyright stuff.
Yeah, very harsh.
Knock on wood.
But definitely like very like Nintendo themes, like I'd say this band is.
Do you think you would ever include like Halo or like that kind of influence too? I
We
don't know how
did.
you would do that. Yeah.
We were on a split. It was a Call of Duty versus Halo split. And we had this song. It's not very popular, but it's called "The Plumber Told Me If I Do Drugs, I'll Go to Hell Before I Die." And that song wasn't actually about Call of Duty, but you know, it had Team COD Split in the title, and it has a Call of Duty album cover.
Oh,
So, and I mean, you know, Gunfight with Slenderman is Gunfight with Slenderman. Slenderman's not very Nintendo related. And there was Mortal Kombat. We did Scorpion Spear was her favorite Rose toy, so there was that. Because I love Mortal Kombat as well. That song was originally going to be like Scorpion Spear is my favorite weapon in Mario Kart. I don't know why we even changed it to what it is
yeah.
now, but we just found it funnier.
Yeah, I really like that one. I had a show too on the radio where I would play like different types of cores. I had a Nintendo core show, and that was the song I played. And I was like, can I say this on air? Like, but anyway, the next question, it's what is the best and worst part of the current Nintendo core scene? I know the Nintendo core scene itself is kind of also like infused in like the current deathcore and metalcore scene, so also that might have some overlap too.
The best part about it is definitely the creativity. I'd say the creativity, seeing more people come out with inspiring stuff is awesome. Seeing people like sing with autotune more is pretty awesome. And overall, just seeing like all the really cool things that people can make and, you know, not needing a full band to do it, like people just making music to make it. And I also think it's really cool when Nintendo core bands actually play live. I think that's another thing. It's like, wow, like, you know, they made it from using programs on FL Studio to actually playing on a stage. That's really nice. And I think the worst part about the scene is the fact that, like, this isn't that much of a bad thing, but Nintendo Core got so popular that it's now known as the shitty SoCal genre. It's now like one of those like shitty SoCal genres that people make fun of. And you know, like Nintendo Core has existed for many years. It's existed since the MySpace days, definitely, and it was like alongside with the deathcore bands. So you know, it's like it sucks that people just think that it was just a SoCal like revival genre, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it kind of sucks it got thrown in with the like SoCal deathcore revival.
Yeah,
Like
exactly. Like it's its own thing, but you know.
also I was wondering about like in your songwriting process, like you talked a little bit about like FL Studio. I was wondering, do you start with the 8-bit sounds and then like build from there, or do you start with more of like the core elements and then add the Nintendo part later?
To be honest, it's kind of whatever I feel like starting with. Sometimes I do start with the 8 bits. Those can be kind of tricky at sometimes because you gotta like do something quite different each time. And programming 8 bits, it's actually not hard, but sometimes like a little tedious. Normally, I start with guitar and drums first a lot of the time, and then I start with the Nintendo after. But sometimes it will be vice versa. Sometimes I'll make a Nintendo melody and then I'll have like the guitars and drums kind of like go into it. So it really just depends. But most of the time, I'll start with guitar and drums first.
And then finally, last question. Are there any current bands embodying that Nintendo core sound that you think need more recognition or you just want to shout out?
I think Eat the Snow is very cool. It, like Eat the Snow is pretty cool. Oh, I gotta go through for this. Ooh, USB Type C. USB Type C is really good. Hunting Unicorns as well. They've gained some recognition. They've gained some popularity, but I think they're really cool. The Taxidermy of Men, they're kind of slept on, and I think that they should get more recognition. I think the Taxidermy of Men is really cool. I think those are the ones I think deserve recognition. I would say Desolation of Kirby, but they kind of ended. Like, they're not doing shows anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like a lot of Nintendo core bands are kind of short-lived nowadays, even if they make like awesome music.
Yeah, most definitely. It's kind of like a hard genre to keep alive for a long time.
In your opinion, like, why do you think that is? Like, do you think it's like the repetitiveness of it or?
Honestly, having a Nintendo core band is not for the weak, because if you actually like make it and you know you have to play shows, you have to buy a bunch of equipment. And I'll tell you, like setting like the setup for a Nintendo core band is not like as cheap as a setup for a deathcore band, because you don't have to worry about synths and staying on time with the tracks and stuff. I believe Nintendo core bands are kind of short-lived because a lot of the time it's just a fun project for people. It's a fun side project for people, and people don't take it as serious. And so when it comes down to it, like most of the times a lot of people are just like, you know what? Like I want to make something actually serious now. That's why like a lot of Nintendo core bands like stopped doing stuff or just broke up, because they were like, you know, this was just my little fun passion, but now I'm ready to actually make something like more. And you know, that's completely fine and respectable. That could be one of the reasons why like Nintendo core bands break apart a lot of the time. I feel like another reason, again, like Nintendo core, it's kind of sometimes hard to keep up with programming all the synths and like making sure like they work live and stuff, having a good PA system.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
There's a lot that goes into it, kind of.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's different for like, every band that ends or goes on hiatus too. There's probably not like a singular answer. But that's all the questions I had for you. Thank you for joining me here.
This is really, really cool. Like, this actually means a lot to me. So, I just want to
Yeah.
thank you for taking time to talk to us and stuff.
Yeah, and thank you for joining me too. I mean, I was kind of insane, like excited that you guys responded too. I mean, I was at your guys's, I think your first show this summer at Coyote Studios, and it was like insane. And
Really? Like, we all kind of hate that show, but it was
really?